Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A summer-long exhibit at the Dakota Discovery Museum in Mitchell looks at the contribution of Jewish families to the South Dakota history, culture, and landscape. The Dakota Diaspora, Jews in South Dakota, and Transfer of Memory exhibits open today, May 15th. It's a look at the Black Hills Gold Rush in Dakota Territory, as well as the impact of World War II on the region. Today, we have three guests with us. First, we're joined by Rod Brown. He's Museum Manager of Dakota Discovery Museum in Mitchell. Hey, Rod, thanks for being here again.
Thank you very much.
And now we'll welcome Joel Allen. He's Associate Professor of Religion and Philosophy at Dakota Wesleyan University, also in Mitchell. Hi, Joel.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Also with us, Steve Huneggs. He is the Executive Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, Minnesota and Dakotas. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you on your program.
Rod, I'd like to start with you and give me an idea of what this museum entails. You know, what do we see when we come to the museum this summer?
In terms of the museum, in a complete look at, you're looking at the history of South Dakota up to about 1939, 1940. We have art, artifacts. The collection is rather diverse and covers an awful lot of things that center on South Dakota, both West River and East River. The exhibit that we've just opening up today looks at the contribution in the life of Jewish settlers, immigrants, people who came to the region to homestead and to establish businesses, all kinds of things in different areas of our state.
Joel, tell me what kind of conversations you've been having together in Mitchell about how to bring this exhibit here and what kind of programming needs to go around it, what kind of conversation you're hoping the community will have because of it.
Well, Rod initially asked me if I was interested in, if I had any students that might be interested in a project on Judaism in the Dakotas, and I thought it was a great idea. And so I had a world religions class coming up, and I posed it to them as a class project, and they really liked the idea. So the way it worked is we identified key Jewish families or persons throughout the state. The students often would say, I had a Jewish friend growing up, I could interview his father or something like that. And so we started identifying, making these contacts. And the idea, the goal was to simply ask the question, what's it like to be Jewish in a state like South Dakota, where there are only 250 to 300 Jews in the whole state? I mean, they're a tiny minority of the population, and yet they've had such an outsized impact on the state and so many different areas through business and philanthropy. And so the whole idea was to simply ask the question, what's it like to be Jewish in the state? And then to answer that question by having students sit down and interview and get to know different Jewish families. And so, for instance, we had a young lady named Amy Zeller that sat down with B. N. Herschel Premack up in Aberdeen. And she had a great time with them, and really, and then later Rod and I went up there with Amy, and we just walked through the synagogue and then through their home, and they just loaded us up with things to bring back. They couldn't have been more generous with us. So that was the tone of what we were doing. Hmm.
Steve Huneggs, tell me a little bit about the Jewish Community Relations Council, if you will. What's the reach of this organization?
As I like to say, we're responsible for 225,000 square miles of paradise between Minnesota and North Dakota and South Dakota, which includes history, Holocaust, Israel advocacy, community security, and within each of those areas, as well as government relations, you have relationships with the press, relationships with colleges, universities, historical societies, all of which are coming to play with this wonderful partnership with Dakota Wesleyan University and Dakota Discovery Museum. Our contribution to this effort specifically was the Transfer of Memory exhibit, which is color photographic portraits of survivors of the Holocaust who came to the upper Midwest, their stories, the lives they made, the families they raised, their indomitability in the face of the worst horrors you can ever imagine. It's a great teaching moment. It's a wonderful backdrop. The Dakota Wesleyan Dakota Discovery Museum is a prime example of programming against it as background, and the opportunities for people to learn and admire the survivors as well as learn more about themselves. with the idea that we all need to work hard to prevent tragedies such as the Holocaust, ethnic cleansing, awful things that we see going on in the world today. So it has very contemporary applications.
Steve, so many voices were lost during that time, and now as we move further away from it and people who have direct experience of that time pass away, why is this a particularly important moment, and how do you keep those stories alive?
Perfect segue to the fact that there have been a couple of national surveys just released over the past month or so. April is Holocaust Remembrance Month, identifying, particularly amongst millennials, a remarkable degree of, I like to use the word unknowing as opposed to ignorance. Ignorance, there's also something pejorative about it. I like to say that we have a responsibility so that these numbers, and it's roughly this, although I might be off by a few numbers, something like 41% of millennials could not identify Auschwitz. If you can't identify Auschwitz, you're probably going to have trouble associated with the Holocaust. If you don't know anything about the Holocaust, you're going to have a hard time learning what it is that we need to prevent in 2018. So all of these things underscore the importance of what we're seeing here in Mitchell, South Dakota, with the exhibit, and people have an opportunity to learn about it.
Yeah. Rod, I'm looking at a listing of summer events, from the public opening to presentations on Hadassah and growing up as a kid in a Jewish home, an evening with the rabbi. Tell me a little bit about the outreach programs, or the programs where you're inviting people to come in for not only to see the exhibit and what's in it, but to you know, connect.
The idea behind all of this is to create a means for people to connect with other people. You know, in a formal sense, we call this networking. In a casual sense, it's interacting with our neighbors. Do we know who they are? Do we know what their story is? Hadassah, for example, is an organization that started in 1912, and it was founded by a Jewish lady in Baltimore, Maryland, who went to Palestine and saw some just awful conditions that Jewish mothers were trying to raise their babies in. She came back determined to do something about that, and she established Hadassah. Well, today, Hadassah is this enormous international organization that does world-class medical care and research in Israel. And so there is, in our state, people who are active in Hadassah. In fact, the individual that will do the presentation on Thursday night is from Sioux Falls. Gail is her name, and so she's coming over to talk about that. She works with another lady, Carol Rosendahl, who's part of the Mount Zion congregation in Sioux Falls. Carol has served as an international vice president to Hadassah. And this is something that is local to our state, and it's connected to an international organization that has a unique look and a unique application to the principle of Zionism. And so it's a wonderful organization that accomplishes tremendous things for people around the world.
Joel, when you sent students out to make the connections as part of this class, give me an idea of how some of the conversations that they came back with, some of the things that their minds sort of expanded in the direction of.
I think one of the things that students were very impressed with is how so many of these of Jewish families here have had such an impact that they hardly even imagined. In one case, it was very interesting. A student interviewed a medical doctor, and he knew this beforehand, but the medical doctor is a neonatalist in Rapid City, and this student was born prematurely. He and his brother were born prematurely, and this was the very neonatalist that essentially saved his life as a baby. Mm-hmm. So it was so interesting to see that come full circle. Now, they had remained family friends. And so he, of course, when I said, think of a Jewish person in the state, if you know one and we could make these connections, he knew exactly who he wanted to interview. It was going to be with Dr. Ben. So mm-hmm. he went and interviewed Dr. Ben and had a great time. And then that actually led to the fact that the Rapid City Synagogue has allowed us to have in our exhibit the Deadwood Torah Scroll. There used to be a large community of Jewish folks in Deadwood and a synagogue. And the Torah scroll actually dates back to 1860. It's an ancient scroll. and or not ancient by
right,
biblical
yeah.
terms, but it's an old scroll. And so the scroll is housed in Rapid City now since the closing of the synagogue in Deadwood, and they loaned it to us, and we have it as kind of the centerpiece of our of this portion of the exhibit. So it was just great to see how those connections were made and how it led to a much better exhibit for us. It really the centerpiece of it.
Yeah. Steve, one of the presentations over this summer is about anti-Semitism, history, causes, and solutions. And I'm sure this is something that you've thought a lot about and had a lot of conversations about. Start us on the conversation of where we are in this region with anti-Semitism and how you sort of address it.
A great question. And again, put in a plug for the exhibit. Folks should come over here to the Dakota Discovery Museum and Dakota Wesleyan University to see it. It's the huge effort that this entire community has put into organizing the exhibit. I know Joel and Rod had a number of sleepless nights as we raced to the conclusion, and it gets appropriate reward that folks have a chance to come and see it. But back to the question at hand, let's start with this premise that there's never been a better time to be an American Jew than in 2018. For the most part, this country has been so welcoming to the Jewish community, and Jews are so at home and feel full comfortable in their own country that it is remarkable. That said, it doesn't mean that there aren't issues and spikes of problems over time. Last 2 years, particularly with the bellicosity of political rhetoric in this country, I mean, you've seen issues associated with it and upticks in anti-Semitism as well as anti-Muslim behavior and misdirected towards all sorts of groups, including immigrants, in this country. So this is something that we all need to keep in mind. And certainly it's of deep importance to the JCRC. So much of our educational work is related to teaching people about anti-Semitism and the like. But generally, it's interesting, despite the spikes in anti-Semitism, particularly over the last year or so, on average, if you look over time, and the ADL has done some very good polling over time, the numbers are nearly at historical lows. But even within that salutary paradigm, there are areas of concern. I wish I could go into greater depth, but don't want to do it now because they have my two partners on the call who also need to participate in this conversation.
Right. We'll have to have you back for that conversation as well, something we could talk about throughout the summer and, you know, in conjunction with some of these events to keep the conversation going on public radio as well. Rod, one of the things I'm interested in is this notion of the gold rush. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit of something from the exhibit that hints to what that time in South Dakota was like for Jewish people.
The gold rush itself was an interesting situation, primarily because there wasn't supposed to be a community like Deadwood because of treaties that had been made prior to that with the government and so forth. There just wasn't supposed to be anything like that, but it happened. And as a part of that, there were a number of Jewish folks that came into the Deadwood area. Some, of course, would have been involved in the mining operations, but there were others who were shopkeepers and store owners. There was a, out of the financial benefit of the mine and all of that, there was a fairly well-to-do high-end jewelry store and jewelry operation that that was being conducted in that area. The justice of the peace was also the lay rabbi for the community.
Really?
And performed the functions of a rabbi as well as serving as the justice of the peace in that era and in that location. So the links between these are really fascinating things to dig into. Law enforcement was affected and influenced in the community by the Jewish members of that community, because one of the primary law enforcement individuals was a Jewish man. And so, you know, in addition to business, there were a lot of other fields that people were engaged in during the gold rush. And so that laid the foundation of it. If I can add this in, the Torah scroll that Dr. Allen spoke about came first to Deadwood, and the story by which it got there, there was no formal congregation because a Torah scroll is required to establish a synagogue. They didn't have a Torah, and so there was one in Europe that was going to come to Deadwood, but the only one who was available at that moment to transport it was a young lady, and there were issues surrounding that process. And so there was a Jewish couple in Deadwood who traveled back to Europe, connected with this young lady who was going to come to Deadwood and marry one of the young Jewish men in the community. And the man of that couple served to transport the Torah scroll so they could establish a synagogue. And his wife served as the chaperone for this young lady who was coming to Deadwood to marry a young man. Yeah. And so it's fascinating that in the very essence of human relationships, you have these other things that are tying into that whole story and make it absolutely fascinating.
Wow. Head to
the
Dakota.
Even the mayor of,
go ahead.
Even the mayor of Deadwood was Saul Starr for many years.
Right.
So he's Jewish. So, there were leading Jewish people in the community at Deadwood.
Head to the Dakota Discovery Museum in Mitchell to check out both these exhibits over the summer. We'll put a link up to our website after the program, listen.sdpb.org. My guests have been Rod Brown, he's museum manager of the museum, Joel Allen, associate professor of religion and philosophy at Dakota Wesleyan, and Steve Hunnigs, and he is the executive director of Jewish Community Relations Council, Minnesota and Dakotas. Gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been fascinating. Hope to continue these conversations throughout the summer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.